biblical leadership. Now, the word leadership is never defined for us in the Scriptures, but on every page we see the leadership of God being demonstrated towards His people. And as you begin to look at both the Old and the New Testament, three distinct roles present themselves when we come to this whole area of leadership. And those three roles are, first, that we are a servant of God's person, a servant of His person. Secondly, we are a steward of God's resources. And thirdly, we are to be shepherds to God's people. Now, this sets Christian leadership apart from what I'm going to call, for lack of a better word, secular leadership. Because in the Scriptures, these three roles are found. And as Christian leaders, we have got to make sure that somehow that style of leadership that we have encompasses all three of these roles. And as our leadership encompasses those three roles, then God will be faithful to take into places, in places of leadership, as well as to enlarge our capacity to be able to lead other people. And so these three things set Christian leadership in a category of its own. Fulfilling the objective is balanced with the needs of people. Now, we need to understand this. We need to make it a part of our own leadership. And what I would like for us to do is to look at each of these three roles separately. And first of all, we're going to start out with a servant of God's person. And of course, I think of the passage over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, where it says of the Lord Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of Christ. So here, Jesus Christ is the perfect example, because he came to serve God. It was not his own will that he was concerned about as much as it was to serve God and to do and accomplish and fulfill all that God had for him. Now, if we go to the dictionary, it defines a servant as one who serves others, or one who must work for and obey another person. But in the Hebrew, the word is ebed, who is one who is at the disposal of another, the worker who belongs to a master or to a slave. And throughout the Old Testament, the leaders of God, as well as the promised Messiah, was described as the ebed of God. Now, in the Greek, there are two words for servant. One of them is doulos, and the other is diakonos. And this word doulos means a slave or a bondservant, and it refers to someone who has absolutely no rights of his own. And then there is the diakonos. And here, this emphasizes more the servant's activity rather than his relationship to his master. Because in this doulos, the relationship that he has is just no right at all. But this word diakonos here, it means to help or to serve or to minister. And of course, this is the word that we extract the word deacon. And with a deacon, we normally think of kind of an elevated position in the body of Christ. Though he is to serve the body of Christ, it isn't this low doulos down here who has no rights, but almost as if there is an elevated place for him to serve. Now, it's interesting to note that in Philippians chapter 2, the word that is used here is not diakonos, but Jesus came as the doulos of God. He came to serve God. And he taught his disciples that they in turn were to serve, and that their serving was not to be this elevated position. I think of what Matthew records for us in chapter 20, in verses 25 through 28, where it says, "But Jesus came unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And so here Jesus points out to them that the Gentiles, they exercise dominion over those people that they lead. They have authority, and to them, real success in life is marked by the kind of authority that they have over other people. But Jesus said, "It shall not be so among you." And Jesus rejects and forbids this kind of leadership. He says that whoever will be chief, let him be your doulos, the bond slave. And service in God's kingdom and the success of it, or the greatness of it, is this concept of serving other people. The Lord Jesus, in Mark 10:45, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And somehow, not only as leaders, but as we begin to follow up on people, then there must be that willingness on our part, not that they should serve us, but that we should serve them and give our life a ransom for them. Dr. Edmond, who is the past president of Wheaton College, once said that it is our job to train servants. It is the responsibility of God to reach down among our servants and to choose his leaders. And if this somehow is offensive towards you, that you would rather be served rather than to serve, then somehow you are not going to be a leader that God is going to use. Now, you may get yourself in a place of leadership, but the hand of God will not be upon you. And so that first role is that we are a servant of God's person. And of course, as we reach out to serve God, God says that we do that by serving other people. The second role is that we are a steward of God's resources. We're reminded over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "Every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So here we're told that we receive gifts from God, that those gifts that we receive from him are not self-engendered, and that God has given those to us that we may take and minister the same to other people. Now, the dictionary defines a steward as one called to exercise responsible care over possessions which have been entrusted to them. In the Greek, there are two words. One is epitrophos, and it means the guardianship of a person. And sometimes a steward is one who has responsibilities to look after other people, or this idea of being a guardian. And then the other word is oikonomos, and it's defined as a servant who is the head of a household. He has been appointed to manage the resources of his master. And these are the two words there. And from it, we recognize that a steward is one who is charged with responsibility to manage either people or resources that do not belong to him. Now again, in a very real way, Jesus Christ is the personification of this in the New Testament. He was a faithful steward over the affairs of his Father. And in the Scriptures, as we look at this whole business of a steward, we see that there are several facets. First of all, he cares for possessions which have been entrusted to him. All that he has been given. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirits, which are God's." So, our bodies are not our own, and we are only stewards of this body. The same truth comes out not only in relationship to our body, but also in terms of our wealth and possessions. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, the people were getting ready to enter into the promised land, and God again wanted Moses to impress upon them that whenever they got there and the blessing of God was upon them, that they would not think that this came about through their own devices, but that God, in fact, had provided for them. And in Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18, it says, "And thou shalt say in thine heart, My power and the might of my hand hath got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day." So it's not only over our body, but it's over our possessions, because God has created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, not only is a steward one who cares for the possessions of other people, but he exercises responsible care. Responsible care. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." And the question is, are we faithful stewards? And if we take care of the affairs of other people, then we become faithful stewards. And if somehow we do not care for things which belong to other people, then there's a real question. And along with this, there is a moral quality of integrity that's involved here, that it's diligently caring for not only the things of other people, but for the things of God. And it means that we consistently give a priority, not just to our own, but to things that have been entrusted to us by other people, and certainly that which has been entrusted to us by God. Now, when it comes to possessions of other people or the possessions that God has given to us, it seems to me that there are four possibilities. We can manage them to the best of our ability. We can neglect them. We can decide not to manage them. Or we can mismanage. And I don't know what God would say of your stewardship today, whether you are doing it to the best of your ability. But I do know this, that a prerequisite to leadership in the body of Christ is contingent upon our being faithful in that which is another man. And this is what Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man, who will give you that which is your own? So, you know, if I have children and I see they don't take care of what has been entrusted to them, and I think, well, why should we give them more? They just won't take care of it. But God feels the same way about His children, the fact that He has given to us. And if we are not looking after those things, then God is certainly reluctant to give us more. So it's a requirement for spiritual leadership. And then the third thing, He uses the resources to accomplish the task. And again, the Lord Jesus and His life and ministry, He certainly used the resources that God had given to Him. I think of a passage over in John chapter 17 in verse 4 where He says, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work Thou gavest Me to do. And Jesus invested those resources in the building of God's kingdom. And at the end of His life, He could look His Father in the eye and said, it's finished. The question one day when we stand before God, we'll be able to say, Lord, it's finished. The work that Thou gavest Me to do, I took these resources and I finished that task. Now, in a very real way, Jesus has made us stewards over the Great Commission. And we've spent a lot of time talking about this. And the question today is whether we are using the resources that God has given to us to fulfill and accomplish with our life that Great Commission. It was His last command. It is to be our first command. I think you know of the parable that Jesus once told His servants, the parable of the talents. And you remember in that story there in Matthew chapter 25, and in verse 19, it said, After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckon with them. Some of you who've heard me preach on this realize that I have said that that parable is a story of what did happen, what is happening, and what is going to happen. Because here He gave resources, and for a long time He departed, but then He came, and there was that day of reckoning. You remember for two of them, they had taken that which they had received, had invested it to the best of their ability, and each of those men had doubled the investment which God had given to them. And He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But to the other, He took that which he had received and hid it in the earth, mismanaged, or didn't manage at all. And then that day came, and Jesus said, thou wicked and slothful servant. Either we are managing, we are neglecting, we are mismanaging, or we simply are not managing at all. But one of these days we are going to stand in the presence of God and are going to account for the stewardship of our life, because we are stewards of God's resources. And then thirdly, we are shepherds of God's people. In Psalm chapter 78, verses 70 through 72, it says, "He also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of the ewes with suckling lambs, and he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands." So here, the story of David, that shepherd, where God had taken him because of his faithfulness to the sheep and now is making him a shepherd over his people. Now, the dictionary defines a figurative shepherd as one charged with the religious care and guidance of other people. The Hebrew word for shepherd is ra, and it literally means one who pastors or tends or grazes domestic animals, and figuratively, it is one who rules or teaches or cares for people. Now, the Old Testament leaders were called the Ra of God, and they were accountable to God for the people. Now, in the Greek, there are two words for shepherd. One is poimento, and it literally, one who pastors and tends or grazes domestic animals, and figuratively it means to guide, to rule, protect, nurture, or care for people. And the figurative reference to human leaders is the predominant New Testament use of poimentos. So here it's people who were to shepherd. Now, the Lord Jesus, he looked upon himself as a shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of my own." And because he was a shepherd, he was willing to protect the sheep, even at the cost of his own life. In verse 11 there of John 10, he said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then, of course, the shepherd is charged with providing for his own. And in the 23rd Psalm, he starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But the fact that God was able to provide his people with all that they needed. And then, of course, in John chapter 21, you remember after Jesus had departed, he came back to Peter, and he said unto him, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than all of these?" And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And so we have been made a shepherd over other people. Now, you remember that whenever we were studying the crowns, that one of those crowns, the under-shepherd's crown, had to do with those who nurtured and cared for the flock of God, and that God wants to make us a shepherd. And Jesus himself, he looked out, and there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep who had no shepherd." And Jesus saw those lost sheep out there, and his heart was moved with compassion. He knew that they needed someone to watch and to care for them. And beloved, today, one of the greatest needs in the 20th century church are for people who know how to shepherd and to care for God's people. Now, it's interesting to note that these three roles are really in harmony. And as I said, they are distinctive qualities that set Christian leadership apart from secular leadership. Because a secular leader, you know, he can kind of turn his back to all of these things. But to the Christian leader, he simply cannot. And these three roles overlap, and they're all related to God, to his purpose, to his people. And somehow God wants to instill all three of these roles into our life. That first of all, a servant spotlights obedience to the person of God. As steward, it emphasizes the faithfulness over those resources to accomplish the task that he has called us to. And then, as shepherd, it highlights his love for his people. Now, the skilled, mature leader, therefore, is one who persistently obeys God, uses his resources to accomplish his God-given task, and lovingly nurtures the people God has provided. And thus, servant, steward, and shepherd are three leadership roles that must function harmoniously to produce a distinctive biblical leadership. And so, as we become leaders, and God will place us in places of leadership if we give ourselves to the building of his kingdom, and that as he places us in those roles, that we recognize that we are a servant of God's person, we are a steward of God's resources, and we are a shepherd to God's people.